This is a celebration of Janmashtami 2007, reading from Jiva Goswami's immortal Sri Gopal Champu. This is Tritiyam Puranam, the third chapter, Krita Purana Brajavarti Trishna, Sri Krishna Janma Sampan Maya. To satisfy the desires of Braja's people, Lord Krishna takes birth. So Parjanya Maharaj, he came and settled in Vrindavan. He had five sons. And the middle son, Nanda Maharaj, was chosen by the elder son, Upananda, to be the ruler of Braja. So Nanda Maharaj, he ruled over them and protected everyone, just like his own family members. Everyone was living in Braja at the height of prosperity. But still, there was one worry that was blaspheming amongst everyone. The Brijbasis were thinking, our king, Nanda Baba, who is more dear to us than life, has no children. As time passed on, this worry troubled Upananda and everyone else. Yashoda and Nanda were overwhelmed with a desire for a child, and this desire grew stronger and stronger. So then it's asked, why did Nanda's friends and kinsmen not perform a yajna to give Nanda children? Why were the intelligent Nanda and Yashoda so upset that they had no children? They were already the king and queen of Braj. Why did they yearn for children? Why did that desire become stronger and stronger as time passed? Text 62 answers. A yajna was performed, but it brought no result. In private, Nanda Maharaj revealed his mind to Yashoda. Oh, my dear Patni, my dear wife, why do my grief-stricken relatives perform yajnas and other ceremonies so I may have children? My heart yearns to have a glorious son. Why is that desire not fulfilled? My heart cannot say, if merciful Lord Narayan is kind to me, then certainly I'll have a glorious child. And Jiva Goswami says, quoting a verse from 3rd Canto, Chapter 2, Verse 12, the Lord appeared in the material world by His internal potency, Yogamaya. He came in His eternal form suitable for His pastimes, which are wonderful for everyone, even those that are proud of their wealth. Even the Lord Himself and the Lord of Vaikuntha becomes attracted to Krishna's pastimes. Thus, the transcendental body of Sri Krishna is the ornament of all ornaments. Yashoda replied to Nanda, what reply can I give? Then Nanda said, I see a dark boy with restless large eyes. I see him playing, and I see him sitting on your lap. And I see him drinking milk from your breast. When I see him, am I dreaming or am I awake? I do not know. Oh, saintly wife, please tell me the truth. Do you also see this boy in your heart? Yashoda said, oh, my glorious husband, I have also seen this child in my thoughts, but I was too shy to tell you. Such a desire can never be attained. We should not keep it in our hearts. Nanda said, although it is my destiny to be childless, I will take shelter of the glorious Lord Narayan, the controller of the worlds. With His help, my desire will be fulfilled. What has never been seen or heard of before, He can place before everyone's eyes. Indeed, Lord Narayan can do any impossible deed. Of course, you have to consider, at this juncture, Nanda and Yashoda are about 70 years old. It is described in other places that Nanda Maharaj's hair at the time of Krishna's birth was salt and pepper. It was black mixed with gray. It was in the late 60s or 70s. So it was quite miraculous at this late age when they finally gave birth. So then Yashoda said, oh my Lord, Nanda Maharaj, how should we worship Lord Narayan? And then Nanda replied, what is your idea? And Yashoda said, We could observe the Dwadasi vow. Nanda happily said, yes, this is a good idea. We should follow it. When they made this decision, the demigods in the sky made a great sound of kettle drums that filled all directions. Nanda and Yashoda passed a year following this vow of Dwadasi. And then the Supreme Lord appeared to both of them in their dreams, and he said, O devotees, I know you are very much attached to me. Why are you so troubled? Don't you know that a delicate boy, dark and glorious like an Atasi flower, will become your son? You will be able to gaze on him always. To increase your love for him, this boy will become your son, kalpa after kalpa. Following my order, you appeared in your amsakala forms as Drona and Dara in the world of the demigods. They took birth on earth in this place. Please know that your glorious son will soon be fulfilled. So there's another story in Bhagavatam that Drona and Dara, who were celestials, they had a desire to have God as their son. So they performed many austerities, and then they became, merged into the body of Yashoda and Nanda, who are Krishna's eternal mother and father. And they got to have the experience of having God or Krishna as their son. When Nanda and Yashoda woke from this dream, they were plunged in an ocean of nectar. They were filled with wonder. So then Jiva Goswami explains that love is the only way that one can attain a relationship with Krishna. The Lord himself says in 11.14.11 Bhagavatam, I am attained through unflinching faith and devotional service. And Gita, Krishna says, all of them as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. In this way, a devotee attains love for Krishna. Love like the love of a parent for a son. This type of love is called Vatsalya. The eternal parental love for Krishna of King Nanda is much more pure and glorious than Vasudeva's paternal love. Seeing that Nanda and Yashoda were somewhat unhappy, the elders of Braj gathered around them and praised them. At that moment, a saintly ascetic lady, accompanied by a Brahmin, came to that place. Everyone stood up to respect her. They honored her and asked her, who are you? You seem like the goddess Yogamaya herself. Who is that boy with you? He looks like Narada Muni in the form of a young boy. The ascetic lady said, my name is Purnamasi. I am a widow, a yogini who practices meditation. I am also an astrologer, therefore I can see the future. This Brahmin boy is Madamangal. He is my grandson. He is saintly like Narada Muni himself. The both of us have some secret knowledge. Then the Brijvasis asked her, well, why are you so kind to us, who are very poor, simple, coward men? Purnamasi said, I know that you have uncommon power and glory. They said, what is that? Purnamasi said, King Nanda, who is the root of your lives, will have a son that delights the three worlds. Everyone began to cry, the hairs of their bodies stood erect. And they said, oh, our forest of Brihadvan, that's Gokul, is a very holy place. Please, Purnamasi, why don't you stay here? We will build you a kutir by the shore of the Yamuna. Purnamasi replied, the goddess of the Vedas spoke to me in a dream. She said the word Krishna. That means a very powerful and glorious person named Krishna will take birth in this place on earth. Krishna's qualities will be eternally new and fresh. His transcendental knowledge and other virtues will be beyond the touch of the three modes of nature. He will possess all wealth and all glory. His devotees will renounce material wealth and glory. Krishna will subdue anyone who tries to oppose him. By your mercy, I will happily stay here in this place in Brihadvan. Then all the Brijvasis offered obeisances in a happy mood to Purnamasi. Then they went to the Yamuna, and they built a kutir for Purnamasi out of leaves and branches. Riding on a horse late at night, Rohini secretly entered the land of Braj at dusk. Seeing that the chaste Rohini's arrival coming from Mathura as an auspicious omen, everyone in King Nanda's assembly became happy at heart. Rohini and Yashoda embraced each other. They appeared like the Ganga and Jamuna flowing together. This was the month of Jaisth, and Rohini was 3 months pregnant, and Yashoda was very happy. So here, Jiva Goswami is saying that Rohini was 3 months pregnant, and Garga Samhita says that Rohini carried Balaram for 5 days in Gokul and gave birth. There is some difference. On a full moon evening in the month of Magh, Yashoda served King Nanda and then fell asleep. In a dream, Yashoda had a vision. In Yashoda's dream, she saw a young boy hiding behind a young girl. Then the boy entered Yashoda's heart. The boy stayed in Yashoda's lotus heart. Then the young girl entered Yashoda's womb. King Nanda also saw these bewildering activities. At first he was unhappy. Then he shook away the unhappiness and felt joyful. Seeing that Yashoda was now pregnant, all the women of Gokul became joyful. Yashoda's face was effulgent. Her breast and belly had grown large. Everyone was whispering, "Oh, Yashoda is now pregnant." Krishna now stayed in Yashoda's womb, glistening like a lamp in a crystal base. Krishna filled Yashoda with light that shone within and without. The wise Queen Yashoda, she had profound thoughts and a host of virtues. She was peaceful, sense-controlled, and mild. But yet, during her pregnancy, there were some things which she intently desired. While Krishna was present in her womb, Yashoda manifested the longings of an ordinary pregnant woman. Yashoda longed to eat sweet rice, fragrant with camphor, sugar, ghee, and tulsi. In other words, oftentimes when a lady's pregnant in the material world, she becomes intensely desirous to eat peanut butter or ice cream or some other type of food. So when Yashoda was pregnant, she wanted to eat kheer with tulsi because this is Bhagavan's favorite food. Whether it's Bhagavan Narayan or Krishna, all the books on puja and Archan Marg, they say the best offering or the most pleasing offering to the Lord is payasam or kheer. Therefore, in all the traditional ancient temples of India, Vishnu temples, Venkateshwar Balaji, outside of Chennai, Rangeshwar, Lord Ranganath, Lord Ramachandra, or any great temple of Vishnu Narayan, they regularly, or Guruvayur, they regularly offer Udupi Krishna, they daily offer payasam or sweet rice or kheer, which is usually mixed with camphor, karpur, and obviously sugar and ghee will be there in tulsi. So Mother Yashoda's manifesting longings to eat kheer were not like an ordinary woman. These were actually indications coming from Bhagavan Sri Krishna was residing in her womb and demanding her favorite foodstuffs. So he was intimating to Mother Yashoda's mind. And so she was having a desire based on Krishna's desire. So then text 103, Jiva Goswami says, Goddess Yogamaya suddenly ended Rohini's 7-month-old pregnancy and placed in Rohini's womb an unborn child taken from Devaki's womb. Then in the 14th month, in the month of Shravan, When the auspicious star Shravan conjoined with the moon, joyful Rohini gave birth to a handsome son, glorious with all transcendental qualities. She was like a lioness giving birth to a powerful cub. She was like a fresh lotus lake in which a fragrant white lotus flower had bloomed. She was like pure knowledge that had given birth to all auspicious glory. Rohini's son had a glorious face and lightning flashing eyes, a dark cloud of hair, and a white autumn-like cloud complexion. He was glorious, grand, and powerful. Her son was transcendental. He was fair and powerful without limit. The astrologers said that this boy, Rohini Nandan, will be the elder brother, Dauji, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He will be the protector of cows, the killer of Dainakasura, Pralamba, and Dwivira, and many other demons. Rohini's son's arms will be long. His name will be Ram. In his past life, he enjoyed pastimes as the brother of Lord Ramachandra. So then the Namkarana ceremony was performed. But still there was sadness in Braj. From the time of Balaram's birth, a dull sadness was seen in Braj. For this sadness there was only one remedy. The remedy was the infant that appeared in Yashoda's meditations. After some days, that infant entered Yashoda's womb. In the 8th month of Bhadra, on a Wednesday, during the auspicious astrological yoga named Harshan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, shaking away the darkness of the world, appeared to the delight of Nanda and Yashoda. Everything was auspiciously arranged by the demigods for the birth of the Lord. Even though Yashoda was unaware of it, Lord Krishna was born from her womb. Krishna's face is like the king of graceful, smiling blue lotus flowers. Krishna's eyes are like the king of graceful black bees, resting in the king of white lotus flowers. Krishna's nose is like the king of sesame flowers, splendid like the kings of dark monsoon clouds. Krishna's lips are like the king of lips, red like red sindoor, roses, bimba berries. Krishna's ears are like the king of splendor of blackness that rule over dark anjan ointments. Krishna's arms and hands are like the king of branches bearing blossoming twigs. Krishna's chest, marked with Srivats, is like the king of dark clouds embraced by an unmoving lightning flash. Something extraordinary occurred at the time of Krishna's birth. Goddess Yogamaya assumed the form of an infant girl and took birth as Krishna's elder sister. Once in every kalpa, in every lifetime of Brahma, Krishna appears before Nanda and Yashoda and the people of Braj, people who love him dearly, to give him a chance to love him as Nanda's son. At the same time that Devaki gave birth to the four-armed Lord Narayan, the two-armed form of Krishna appeared in Yashoda's womb. When Vasudeva brought the four-armed Lord Narayan to Gokul and placed him on the bed, the four-armed Narayan form entered the two-armed form of Krishna that was lying there, unseen by Vasudeva. And Vasudeva took the daughter of Yashoda, Yogamaya, and returned to Mathura. Yogamaya was present in Yashoda's womb. Manifesting her formless feature, Yogamaya became the wind that pushed infant Krishna from Yashoda's womb. In this way, Yogamaya was like a fragrant breeze, although invisible, still makes a lotus flower move from side to side. Goddess Yogamaya also put Yashoda into a state of bewilderment She was bewildered about her newborn child. Then Yogamaya herself took birth. Yogamaya established the relationship of King Nanda and Lord Krishna. Although Krishna is all-powerful, he submits himself to the devotee's desire. He does not merely follow his own womb. Yogamaya pushed Yashoda and she awoke and saw her newborn son. She was very happy to see her dark blue lotus petal-like son. Gazing at her newborn son, his body more glorious than a glorious sapphire, his face defeating the moon, his eyes more graceful than the most graceful lotus flowers, his hands and feet more charming than new petals on Kalpavriksha trees, his soft and sweet infant cries entrancing the whole world, Mother Yashoda became stunned and appeared like a painted picture. She was thinking within herself, is this boy the king of the kingdom of dark splendor? Is he the most splendid of all oceans of handsome beauty? Is he the personified good fortune of all who are graceful and glorious? Is this boy a fruit that has grown from the tree of my limbs? As Yashoda was pondering like this, the infant Krishna cried, Om, Om. Of course, the word Om means yes, confirmation, affirmation, very strong affirmation, yes. Yashoda tried to call her friends to her bedside, but she was not able to. Tears were streaming from her eyes and she was stunned, overcome with love for her son. Yogamaya arranged for the people of Braj to awaken from their sleep. Now the Supreme Lord was present amongst them. Krishna was like the glorious moon who was making the lotus forest, the lotus flowers of the hearts of the Braja people bloom with joy with its cooling light. The newborn child was not only lying on his mother's bed, but he was also reflected in the glistening mirrors of his loving kinsmen's hearts. As a Chattaki bird gazes without distraction at a monsoon cloud waiting for rain to pour to satisfy his thirst, the ladies of Braj gazed at the reflection of Krishna in their hearts. Quickly they ran to see the boy. The ladies gathered around the bedside of Yashoda and stared at the Lord, gazed at the Lord like Chakori birds gazing at the newly risen moon. They were thinking how to awaken Yashoda from her trance, but they were also stunned. And a doubt appeared in their hearts. Is this boy a demigod? They could not believe that he was an ordinary human child. Is this boy a garland of blue lotuses, a gigantic sapphire, a Vidura jewel? Who is he? What is it? It appears to have the form of a newborn infant. As we look at this beautiful boy, all our senses become stunned. Our eyes can fix on him alone. The ladies thought, this boy is actually a dark tamal leaf, fragrant with musk, anointed with glistening handsomeness, and the splendor of his own glorious form. He's bathed in the nectar of his handsome face, anointed with beautiful sandal and camphor of his mother's glances. The ladies gazed at the infant boy, his limbs as delicate as a tamal leaf, dipped in musk, to attract their hearts. With his hand, the boy played with a few strands of curly hair. Then he clenched his hand in a tiny fist. The ladies were so happy to gaze at the newborn child. They started whispering among themselves. Oh, look! Now he's touching his head. Now he's rubbing his eyes. Oh, look! Now he's touching his chest. And he rests his hands on his chest. Saying these beautiful words, the Braja ladies gazed at the Lord in his newborn form. No one grew tired of gazing upon Krishna. Shedding a shower of nectarine tears, Yashoda offered her breast milk to the newborn child. The various rituals were performed, and an elderly Brahmani lady went to tell the delighted Nanda. He was overwhelmed with joy as he quickly came. Everyone offered gifts. Nanda offered gifts to everyone. Now the next chapter is chapter 4. It's called Nandotsav. This is the following day, the day which Srila Prabhupada appeared in this world to benedict everyone with Krishna Prema by spreading the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So this is called Nandotsav, the great festival of Nanda. Nanda ke Ananda bhai, jai kaniya lala ki. Ati diya gora diya or diya palaki, jai kaniya lala ki. Nanda ke Ananda bhai. So this is the day after Janmashtami. And all the elderly ladies, they found Nanda and Upananda and all his brothers had gone to the barn to milk the cows. And the Brahmani was going with her hands bearing fruit and gifts. And she told Nanda of her son's birth. Our king now is a son. Will you come to see him? Overcome with bliss, Nanda could not speak a word. The hairs of his body stood erect with joy. Smiling, everyone honored the gray-haired old lady, Purnamasi. And then she said, may auspiciousness come to your son. Then Purnamasi offered the gifts of fruit she was bearing in her hands, and Durva grass, anointed with Gaurachan, kunkum, and sandalwood paste. Upananda told his younger brother Nanda, you should leave the cows and quickly return home. All the men there in the barn, or Goshal happily said, Purnamasi has brought the good news you have longed to hear. How is it possible? Nanda's intelligence was bewildered. He had no way to understand how it is possible. Donning the appropriate robes to perform religious rituals, King Nanda gave many valuables away in charity. Rohini ordered two drummers to play kettle drums on either side of the archway. And as they sounded the drums, they announced, Nanda's son is born! Nanda's son is born! Nanda's son is born! At night, there was a great tumult of heavenly music and many calls of Jai and Jai. And all the Brijvasis made a great tumult of joyful sounds. Nanda trembled. He was stunned with bliss and longing. It was only when Lord Narayan, whom Nanda had long served, took his hand that Nanda became peaceful. Nanda returned to his home. A host of friends and kinsmen hurried to Nanda's palace. Thousands of saintly ladies also came and offered aarti to King Nanda as they celebrated the birth of his son. The Brahmanas greeted Nanda with great respect. Nanda called them each forward and worshipped them. The Brahmanas sat around Nanda and offered blessings and recited mantras from the Vedas and placed durva grass and other auspicious articles on the newborn Krishna's head to celebrate the birth rituals. They decorated and bathed the child and performed the Jatakarma ritual. First, Nanda worshipped his sister-in-law. And his ancestors. Then he entered the maternity room. All the visitors gathered outside and they were begging for an opportunity to see the newborn boy and become blessed with his glorious vision. Finally, they had darshan of the newborn boy, whose glories were incomparable. Everyone was gazing at the newborn baby, whose form was a playground of gentle glory. his playful actions filling the worlds with wonder. Bathing him with their eyes, everyone gazed for some moments and became stunned. Nanda was so ecstatic and bliss that he became stunned and couldn't move. Someone was saying, "Oh, Yashoda, why don't you place the child on King Nanda's lap?" Then the Brahmins blessed the baby with various rituals. The Brahmanas, named Sharma, performed the Jatakarma ritual. Then they had Krishna lick a drop of ghee from his golden finger ring. Then they performed the Ayusha Kriya, long life ritual, and recited various mantras to bless the child and sprinkle water on his head. Then the time came for cutting the umbilical cord. The midwife was ecstatic in bliss. She called out twice or thrice, "What wonder, what wonder, what wonder!" She said, "Oh Nanda, oh Maharaj, I cannot find any umbilical cord on the boy's navel. I'm not lying. There's no umbilical cord. This boy's feet are glorious. There's glorious marks on his feet, like Shankh, Chakra, Vajra, and Padma, and auspicious marks on his hands. Oh, King of Braj, look! This boy's body is splendid like a monsoon cloud. There are so many more auspicious marks. There are more auspicious marks on his body than are described in the Samudrika Shastra." Samudrika, like we have the word mudra, which means hand positions or positions of the hand, like in dancing. So Samudrika Shastra describes the different auspicious symptoms on a human being's body. Then the Brahmins, they were amazed, and they said, "Oh, if we cannot cut your umbilical cord, Krishna's umbilical cord, how can we perform the Jatakarma Yajna, or ceremony, ritual?" So then Nanda gave charity to all the Brahmins, gave millions of cows with golden painted horns. He gave so much charity. He gave 5,110,000 cows to various different Brahmins. Altogether, it was 5,110,000 cows. So no one could count all the charity that Nanda Maharaj gave. The land of Braj became filled with bliss. There was no suffering anywhere. Everyone was dancing. There were flags flapping in the wind. The calves and cows and bulls were affectionately anointed with oil and turmeric and happily painted with pictures and designs. And the cowherd people were all dressed up. The gopis sang very beautiful songs describing Yashoda's birth. That goes on for about 10 verses. And as they were singing these beautiful songs, they started sprinkling haldi and oil on each other. Then they went outside after finishing their glorification of the birth pastimes in poetry and music. They started sprinkling each other with milk yogurt. And the gopis all turned white. There was so much yogurt sprinkled on each other. They looked like waves dancing. As they moved and danced around the courtyard of Nanda Baba, the Braja gopis looked like waves dancing in an ocean of milk. Then they gathered together and sang more songs and recited a shloka. They were again and again slipping on the ground, which had become muddied with so much yogurt and milk products being thrown about. Nanda Maharaj called for 10 billion virtuous men and gave them as many jewels as they wanted. In ordinary situations, a beggar asks and a donor gives, but this situation was different. Nanda Maharaj gave to all the beggars without even being asked. He was as generous in giving charity as a Kalpavriksha tree and a Chintamani jewel is in fulfilling one's desire. All their generous donors look like misers in comparison to Nanda Maharaj's charity he gave on Krishna's birth ceremony. After the festival, everyone went to the Yamuna and happily played in the water to celebrate the birth of Krishna. And Nanda played also in the Yamuna along with the other Brijbasis. They anointed their bodies with fragrances and they donned splendid, beautiful garments and applied unguents like sandalwood paste and camphor to their bodies. Then they went to saintly Purnamasi and all bowed down before her. And they glorified her and then they returned to Nanda's palace. Nanda continued to give gifts to all his personal family members. Rohini prepared a wonderful feast and delicious food cooked in ghee. And everyone spent the whole night singing and dancing in Nanda Baba's palace. From the time of Krishna's appearance, the land of Vrindavan became more and more glorious day by day. It appeared that the goddess of fortune had personally appeared in the homes of the coward people. Thus ends this chapter describing the glorious Nandotsav celebration of Nanda Maharaj celebrating the wonderful appearance of Krishna as his son and the son of Mother Yashoda in Gokul. Shri Gopal Champu ki Bhagavan Krishna Shri Jayanti Mahotsav ki Jai.